I leave the formal introduction now because there are more of you. Just to introduce myself, my name is Peter Wong, one of the four elders here. As you may have missed the earlier announcement, Pastor James is on holiday. But for the new members or new people coming to church, we welcome you as many of our DPICC members, as I said earlier, traveling a lot. And traveling a lot is, I think, is a predominant occupation of a lot of us here. Our family has recently traveled to the UK as well. And just to a little prelude to the talk today. In the last two Sundays, we sat inside the Worcester Cathedral, where my father-in-law lives. And we sat in the inside chapel. The two things I want to mention to you. On the second Sunday, we were sitting literally 2 foot away from the grave of King John. And I asked my wife, King John? Who is he? He's the one actually wrote Magna Carta. But the bit I want to share with you is inside most churches, cathedrals, you find a large number of important people. In big cathedrals in the UK, you almost inevitably find some royals, kings, residing in there after their deaths. Then a thought came to my mind, why did all these people want to bury it inside church, or at least on the church courtyard? And I leave you to think about it. To me, it's quite clear. They want a peace of mind after their death. They want to be united with our God. Even the kings and queens and royals, they knew they were nothing compared to the Almighty God. And even after their death, they needed to be rested in his arms. That's what it meant to me. So today, I asked the questions. Now, just in case, I think a lot of the children have disappeared. Am I right? Where's Eddie? Oh, okay, that's okay. Because I'm going to say to the junior church, I've got some questions for you, and I need someone to answer my questions. Okay, don't worry, I can see some children. Okay. Now, would this be one of your friends? The question being asked, who are your friends? Because we have many kind of different friends, okay? And for the children, well, even for the adults, you know, we might like to have a puppy. Okay. And would anyone else like to volunteer who your friends are? Children? No? Yeah? Go on. Shout. God, did you say God? Very good, very good. Well, I haven't moved on to that one yet. The next one might be this little lovely kitten, okay? And we always find a friend or friendship that we can attach to pets. What about this fella? Would he be your friend? Oh, yeah. And for the teenagers, I remember my daughter, my oldest daughter, Emily. I think we were all glued to the screen when High School Musical first came out. Admittedly, 2006 now, 10 years. And now I think it's a High School Musical 4. So any of them can be your friends on the screen. To turn the question slightly, Who do you choose to be your friend? That's an interesting one, because within any of us, we have a set of operating rules. Who you like to be your friends? Perhaps they like to be good looking. They like to be tall, short, speak in a certain way, dress in a certain way, manner in a certain way. Don't we all have that set of criteria? All right? And I myself not excluded. Were any of these people you choose to be his or her friend? Can you recognize all of them? Well, they're all world leaders, apart from two wanting to be president. I'm sure they don't need my introduction. Yeah. So, what about these? Are these your friends? I hope they are. Okay. Some of you recognize Rosanna, who used to be a regular church member, the lady in the green t-shirt with her two lovely daughters in front of her, Katie and Steffi. Okay. And on the other side, we have Erica, who not so long left here, DB, to the UK, just 2 or 3 months ago, with her two younger children, Maya and Noah. And then it was my family. The older lady, standing right in front of me, her name is Teresa. She's my, well, I call her aunt, but she was my guardian. She was the one that put her name down, looking after me when I was in the UK at the age of 16, not knowing anybody else. So it was good to see all these friends. Friends from church. And these three lovely ladies, we share the afternoon at St. James Park, really for the children, and they have a magnificent time with each other, and also chasing after the animals there. That was really good. The message that I want to give you is Jesus finds his way and chooses all of you, each and every one of you, to be his friend. Okay. It seems perhaps sometimes remote. Let's look at some verses. And this is from John 15. Just reading from 12 to 17. There's Jesus saying to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another and as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." He obviously was the prime example. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Through the Bible, if we can spend a good deal of our time reading the Bible, try to digest it. Quite often, the ESV, the English Standard Version, is used, and I usually alternate between this version and the ERV, the easy-to-read version, which both are available, and many other different versions on the BibleGateway.com. And the ESV and the easy-to-read version is one above or bottom of the other. So it's very easy. And I can tell you, I read lots of books in my life. I go through lots of lectures in my life. But this is the book that's been written almost 4,000 years ago. This is the best one of all. Read it time and time again. What he said thousands of years ago really can be applied at any time now and many years into the future. So, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you love one another. So, Jesus came to earth, and he wanted every one of us to be his friend. Okay? And in the children's VBS, these are the few examples they went through, and each one of them can be seen with a common theme. Jesus came and met all these people, and he wanted them to be his friends. Okay. Now, we have a few children at the moment, so I can't really pinpoint too many of them to try to ask them to tell me the story again. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Everybody else hated him because he collected too much wealth for himself. But yet, he wanted to meet Jesus, and Jesus gave him a chance. Of course, deliberately, because Jesus knew Zacchaeus was looking for him. So, after receiving Jesus, Jesus went to his house and proclaimed, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he's also is a son of Abraham." Jesus chose a sinner, and who amongst us are not sinners? Okay? Jesus did not discriminate sinners against no sinners, because there are no sinners. There are no non-sinners, only him. And Zacchaeus, upon receiving Jesus' message, he gave half his wealth to the poor and repay four times to those people he had cheated. And then in the second week, the children were taught about the Samaria woman. By the way, I wanted to integrate the children's program into the adult session because I see it's an important dimension that as adults, we have a deeper understanding of what the children went through in their classes. Because sometimes, you know, these things just happened and you let that happen and then you put your attention to something else for the rest of the week. So the Samaritan woman gave water to Jesus. But Jesus asked her, would you like to have the living water? Because it's the living water that helped her not to be thirsty again, and the living water will serve her eternal life. And that Samaritan woman, as we remember, had more than one husband. She had five. And the last one wasn't even her husband. And again, the theme here is she was also a sinner. And then the third week, the children were taught Nicodemus, a high-ranking Pharisee who was supposed to preach the Bible. And Jesus helped him to understand what the word is about and told him that every one of us need to be reborn with water and the Spirit. And this is the only way to enter his kingdom. In the fourth week, the children were taught Jesus saw a blind man, okay? And everybody else condemned the blind man because he must have sinned or perhaps his parents have sinned. That's why he was blind. But Jesus points out some of us could be blind, disabled, not because of our sins, not because of our parents' sins. Of course it can be, but not every occasion. Don't be judgmental, but God used the occasion to use the disability to show his great mercy to those who are disabled, to give an example why we should trust him and strengthen our faith in the face of adversity, disadvantage. And in the last week that Jesus was taught, Jesus welcomes children, and as a church, we place great emphasis on welcoming, educating our children, because it's through this we can honor him, we can also do our duty as parents, because we are looking after our children, our flock for the future, so that the gospel message can be continued forever and evermore. So, the Bible is full of examples during Jesus' ministry, how he particularly picked out the lost, the sinners, and how to help them to see God. So, a lot of you sitting amongst us, I can see, came not originally from Hong Kong. You can look back, you can also look forward to your own calling, how you arrive at your certain position now. Perhaps try to connect with God, what God has been providing for you. And I've seen a lot for myself, for my family, but also how God is trying to use you to further his kingdom. Just on the negative side, there are also other kinds of friends that the Bible referred to. Here are a couple that I digged out from the Bible. The rich may have many friends, but we all know the friendship may not last. And always be careful about what wealth brings to us, because Jesus was never wealthy in material. Coming to the application, okay. As we said, we have many different sets of judgment values, how to make friends, all right? We all have. And when you read the Bible, you can apply it in a higher order how to make friends, how to see a friend, how to be a friend, and last but not all, how you can all become a friend of Jesus, as he's trying to do to tell us. So, it's a simple message today. I think this one is, this is a great cartoon. I always like cartoon because I'm a kid. It tells you a very simple message here, all right? We can go towards Jesus with nothing, if only our heart, and that's all he wants from you. It doesn't really require of our wealth, our wisdom, okay? It doesn't require any of other things. He just like us to be like him. Very simple, but most difficult to achieve. So, simple message today. I thank you for listening. So we bow our heads and give thanks to the Lord in giving us this opportunity to learn something about friendship, how Jesus came to the earth, and look for friends He specifically chose each and every one of us to be his friend despite our shortcomings. And we can only lift up our hearts to him and to do the right thing to glorify him until he's returned. Amen. Today is the first Sunday service, so in James' absence, myself and Jesse have agreed to serve the Lord's table, and maybe we can also ask Tom and Martin to help out in a moment for serving the elements. In 1 Corinthians 11, we are asked and advised by Paul to examine ourselves before we took up the communion, whether there are ways in us that are not holy in an unworthy manner that we should not take up the Lord's table. It can be because we believe there's another friend. Are there ways to be friends with God other than by faith and works in Christ? We believe there might be other people more holy, and we have not yet confessed our sins. So we're going to start with a moment of silence for each of us to confess our sins, and then I'll do it all for us. Well, Father God, we know we are nothing other than sinners from the days of Adam and Eve. There's no exception to any of us. Big and small sins, we ask for your pardon and forgiveness as you always show your grace and love to us. Pardon us for our sins so that we can receive your body and blood of Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he said this to his disciple. He took his bread. He gave thanks to the Father. Said to the disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, who is prepared for you. And do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, that night, he took up the cup. He gave thanks to the Father, as is done in his Father's will. He said to his disciples, "This is my blood, the new covenant in my blood, in this cup, shed for many for the remissions of sin. Drink it, all of you." So we're going to start the process of communion. For the newcomers, as I can see, maybe one or two, a few newcomers, first of all, I'm going to ask the Jesse, Tom, and Martin to come and help me. We're going to line up with bread and wine. We come down on your right to receive the elements. And those who do not want to receive the elements can also come down for the blessings, especially the children. Thank you.